Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin there, but the first thing I want to say is that there is a lot of folks that begins to see their salvation as a finished work. And they say things like, I am saved. And they past tense it. I am saved. I don't see myself as being saved, past tense. I see myself as being saved. I see the operation of God in my life. I am being saved. You see, the Father planned your salvation. Jesus worked your salvation. And the Holy Spirit is applying your salvation till you breathe the last. You never need to see your salvation as a completed work, but as one that you press into for your whole life, giving yourself to it, understanding that as I press forward, I do receive more and more and more of Him. There's never a time that it's a completed work until we get to heaven. So as we are always about serving Him better tomorrow than we have today or yesterday, when we really focus on that, God opens up the windows of heaven and He begins to do things in us that we never dreamed about. Once you think it's a completed work and you can sit back on your past experience, then you begin to do less and less. You begin to think less and less about Him. He becomes less precious to you. And that's an ugly path to try to live, to hang on to the end of your rope. Oh God, I know you know, I'm just trying to hang on to the bitter end. I'm going to tell you, the most fun life you can ever have is serving God with your whole heart. Is giving Him your all. Giving Him your everything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to begin there with verse 14. And I'm going to try to turn in my Bible because I've already encouraged you to do that to yours. In verse 14 it says, "For the love of Christ holds us together." Isn't that powerful? This world doesn't hold you together. It's the love of Christ that holds you together. It constrains us. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What? Now, did I tell you the wrong? 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Here we go. And it says here, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." You hear that? Don't live to yourself. "But unto Him which died for them." Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And He hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." That we can be a witness that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And He wasn't holding their sins against them or holding them in His pocket. "But we have been committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20. "Now then we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And we are praying in Christ's stead that you be reconciled unto God." Bow your heads with me. Father, we want to clean up our walk. We want to clean up our talk. And we want to clean up our thinking. And we want to understand that it's You doing this great work in us. And now it's time for us to be reconciled to You. What that means, I pray that it burns into each one of us. And what that looks like, I pray that we leave here on fire and anointed with Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now he starts here in verse 20, or I'm going to go back to verse 20. He says, "Be ye reconciled to Christ." And if you've got a completed work in your mind that you are being, your salvation is over, that Jesus Christ somehow did that work for you, and you don't have to participate in anything, and you don't have to grow in grace, and you don't have to walk this walk, then what you've done is you don't see a need for you to reconcile yourself unto God. Most of the time, people, when they read that, they think that's an evangelistic message. Who was he writing to? The Corinthians. And what did he say? You that are in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, right there in chapter 1, he's talking to people that are saved, that are born again. So this is a task for those that are born again. It is an absolute impossibility for a person that is not born again to reconcile itself to God. If you're not born again, if God has not delivered you from your sin, you can't climb that ladder yourself. You can't climb that rope. You can't do it till God frees you to be able to walk that walk. Then after he frees you up, that's when you begin to make choices. You make choices to choose his highway. You make choices to choose to walk in his path and not your own. It is a choice for you. Before that time, you don't have any choices. You are bound in trespasses and sins. We've read it so many times. We expect, now as Christians, we got to quit being goofy, okay? Let's just stop the goofy. Now let's everybody say, stop the goofy. Stop the goofy. Okay, we've got to quit expecting for a person that doesn't know God to act like they do. Let's just go ahead and get it there. For a person that doesn't know God, they ought to act better. They can't. I'm still in puberty, so when I do that, don't worry about me. Anyway, they can't act better. They can't do better. We don't need to expect their actions to change. We need to expect the God of their life to change their actions. We need to expect that and trust in that and pray that God delivers them so that they can make the right choices. Amen? Now, if you look back at Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, he said, we need to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, how wonderful is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and deliver us from our trespasses. Well, I'm getting it out of order here. But what he's saying, deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from temptation so it doesn't come and creep up and get us again. You see, after you're saved, you have a choice. You can pull sin into your life, or you can reach for God more. You can go after this, or you can go after that. It just depends on how you see God. And we're going to get to how you see God at the end of this message. In Hebrews, Mikey, if you and Megan can come and help me for just a minute. In Hebrews, we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Turn there with me if you would. And I'm going to try to get it here so I don't have to turn around and look. I had it a moment ago and then I lost my place. Hebrews chapter 2. It says, Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That sounds like he's calling you to action, doesn't it? For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience and received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to escape if we neglect salvation? Now, he didn't say abandon. He said escape if we neglect. We don't need to neglect the God that is in our heart. We don't need to neglect our prayer time. We don't need to neglect preaching the gospel. We don't need to neglect doing good for others. If we neglect it, we begin to backslide ourselves. We begin to pull ourselves away from God. Just by ignoring God, you step away from Him. It's just Sunday morning church. Oh, they're having guest speaker week. Oh, I don't really feel like it. 100 drops of rain will keep, or 99 drops of rain will keep 100 people out of church. Anyway, that's just a trouble. Say, well, now I've got bills to pay, so I'm not going to pay my tithes this week. You start neglecting God, and it becomes hard on you. It doesn't become hard on God. It becomes hard on your life. There I am again. It becomes difficult for you to live and love. If you guys could come and help me for a minute. Mikey's going to be on this side of me and Megan over here. Now, what I'm showing you right now is your salvation is great. It is not good. It is not simple. Your salvation is great. And you need to start seeing your salvation as great. You're bound in trespasses and sins, and God comes up to you and he says, "Megan, I know everything you suffer with. Every weakness and every strength. Everything that you have, and I'm going to make your life greater than you ever dreamed. I'm going to make your dreams seem small to my dreams. I'm going to make your joy seem small to my joy. I'm going to make what you go through in the future not even hold a candle to how good your life could have been without me." And he starts to unwrap our lives. You're going to have to help me. There you go. It starts to unwrap our lives, and he unwraps the sin from our existence. And he takes these things. And he does. God is not your garbage man. God does not put it in his pocket. He cast it as far as the east is from the west, away from you. He doesn't want sin in the relationship. But we see God sometimes as our garbage man. He takes our junk. He lives with our stuff. And we just keep on, "Oh, well, I'll just go to church Sunday and repent." You need to shuck off the old man and those deeds. And then he takes us and he says, "I want you to have a full life in me. And I want you to take hold of me with both hands. I want no sin to ever come on you." Then Megan starts to think, "He has delivered me." Her eyes get off of this world. She is looking at how great her salvation is. She's looking only at that. And she begins to think, "I'm going to get up every morning and thank him for my salvation." And so just a little inch at a time, because you're going to overrun Mikey here. So every morning she's putting gratefulness in her heart for God and for the salvation that he has. If you neglect that, you quit climbing this rope. This is part of your reconciliation. This is part of your walk. This is a response to a holy God that has delivered you from a sinful world. How much should we be activated by that? He comes over to Mikey and he says, "The things that were in your past, they're not coming back. You are free from them. You are free forevermore. It is not something that you could have done by yourself. And we don't want that in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to live above anything that you've ever seen." And as Mikey begins to grow, he says, "Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a Bible study. And I'm going to get together with my friends that actually told me about Jesus. And we're going to start hanging out a little bit. And I'm going to start growing." Now he starts moving up his walk. And he said, by that, as you see them getting closer to God, what do? They get closer to each other. That's pretty simple, okay? I know, you're thinking genius. It's not really. Anyway, you'll live through it. It's okay. Anyway, so as Mikey begins to grow toward God, and Megan begins to grow toward God, and they begin to honor his salvation, it becomes easier and easier to grow closer and closer. Then as God stands up, and I'm going to be a bad example of God for just a moment. As God stands at the cross, he says, "I see two people seeking me, and I'm going to bring them together. And I'm going to bring them together that they can walk together." Now get your ropes right here. Get your ropes. Okay, they can walk together. And I'm going to tell you, in this walk together, they're going to encourage one another. They're going to help one another. They're going to strengthen one another. Because both of their eyes are fixed right here on the greatness of God. So their marriage, or right now their engagement, is of such a state that they both honor God with that engagement. Okay? Now, let's say Mikey gets a little confused. We don't want that. That happens. Has anybody been confused? Raise your hand. Go ahead and admit it. We've all been confused from time to time. Mikey gets a little confused. And then he says something that I despise. Anytime I hear this statement, I want to say, "God, no." And I do most of the time. But anyway, he says to himself, "I'm going to enjoy a little guilty pleasure." If you say that, don't do it. Because you already know that it's branded from another source. It's not increasing your view of this great salvation. Quit making excuses for low living and start raising your standards to a God that's expecting great things because you expect great things out of Him. Woo. Let me tell you. And then his guilty pleasure thought automatically creates this distance. Now they're not walking together. Now what was tolerable in this relationship when he was over here is hardly tolerable anymore.
That's good.
We don't need to back up. Rather than him taking on this guilty pleasure, he needs to be over here saying, how can we get closer? How can we get up closer to the cross? How can we get closer to the God who saved us? Are you encouraging your spouse and the people around you to start living in ways that are great? Or are you extending the rope, just seeing how far you can stray rather than how close you can stay? I think we really need to get that in our mind, that we need to get close unto Him. And it is up to us. We don't need to say, oh God, give me a miracle and just catapult me. Give me a jetpack. Let me live. You know, no, God is letting you grow little by little into His glory. And I want you to know you'll go from glory to glory to glory, from hope to hope, joy to joy, peace to peace. The reason why you're in turmoil is because you go guilty pleasure. Right? Little guilty pleasure right there. Little bit of this. Now, God hadn't let you go. He's still giving you the strength. But let me tell you, if you keep backing up, this is your maturity. You hear me? Don't want to hurt you. This is your maturity. The further away from God you get, the less mature you are. You're less mature with your neighbors and your friends. I'm not just talking about God. You go to work and say some God-awful stupid things. One minute you're saying you're a Christian. The next minute you're talking about the R-rated movie you went and watched last week and how great it was while you're cursing God. I'm going to tell you something. A Christian has to separate himself from this world so that we can get closer to our great salvation. When you begin to diminish the greatness of your salvation in your mind, you begin to walk in ways that won't even become to look like a Christian will walk. So this will become intolerable, this distance. And before you know it, God is saying, well, you're not mature enough for this relationship. So we're just going to go on back over here until you can get yourself where you can support somebody, where you can walk with somebody, where you can walk. Some of you singles are over there acting like an amputee right now. Oh, my God. Maybe he did that to me. Yeah. Living like an amputee, like something's missing in your life, you don't have a good view of God. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are not missing anything. Single, married, engaged, I don't care what your status is on this earth, you're not missing a thing. You've got all the ingredients to grow to greatness under His umbrella, gathered under His wings, and He's loving you for it. Now, listen, this is my phrase. I coined it, I like it, and I'm going to give it to you. You ready? You got to crawl, say it, you got to crawl before you. But you don't have to crawl slowly. That's my thing. Y'all didn't go with me on that. You don't have to crawl slowly. You don't have to say, oh, well, I just don't want to give up too. I don't want to get too far away from my sin. So I'll just ink away at it. And I'll come to church on Christmas and Easter. Really? You'll be lucky you make it back by the next. If this is not the greatest thing in your life, it'll become nothing at all. If you don't think your salvation is great, if you don't value it, you'll start treating it like it's expendable. It's a choice. You can do with it. You can pull it in. You can let it go. You can do whatever you want to with it. I've embarrassed you guys plenty. Thank you. Let me just let you go. Okay? Thank you for helping. There you go. That's one. Oh, Mikey. Dine out. That was not a plug for anybody that thinks that might have been. I think sometimes we think that if we don't do anything mean, anything real sinful, then we're not messing up. But I'm going to tell you, neglecting your salvation is sinful. It is something that will take you away from the glory of God on a consistent basis. You have to choose this day and how you're going to walk and get busy about it. Now, how is it that people backslide? How is it that people go away from God? The first way is they become unthankful. You become ungrateful. It's that simple. Romans chapter 1. That's what it says. That when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You thought you could have both, but the truth is, you can only have one God. You can only serve Him and Him alone. And that is where your satisfaction will always come from. You know what we have a problem with? I let Mikey go too soon. But anyway, yes, come on, bud. It's what I like. Improv. No, you take that side. I got this. You know what we have a problem with in our Christian walk? We're not looking and gazing at the cross and climbing our own rope. We look at His rope. What you gonna do? And we begin to wonder what He's gonna do. You know, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. You remember at the last chapter of John, John was writing, and he said, Peter saw John. And then he turned around to Jesus and said, what's He gonna do? And you know what Jesus said? Since Jesus is on Prozac, no, Jesus turned around. Jesus says, what does that matter to you? Mind your own business. Okay, now the Prozac Jesus that I see in the cartoon character would have hummed his way through it. I think that maybe you should get your eyes on me. No, mind your own business. It'd be good for us to mind our business. You can't be grateful until you mind your business. I'm going to tell you, as we get closer to one another, I quit worrying about His rope. I quit thinking about His rope. And I'm pulling Him up. I'm pulling up close. And then I say, man, let me help you get closer. You help me get closer. And we don't say what we can get away with. It's not how far the leash is. It's how close we can stay. Thank you again. We need to have our hope built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I'm going to tell you, some of you sitting in here want to have a beautiful wife. I got one. Some of you want to have a... That's the right! Some of you want to have a great house. I got one. Some of you want to have a great family. I got one. Some of you want to have a great job. I got one. But you know what I have that's better than any of that? I have a great salvation that made all of that possible. When I was a punk, when I was just a child, I was very young. Anyway, let me go on. When I was just a child, when I was a punk, and I took off and went to college, I knew more than my parents and the grandparents. I knew more than everybody. But I was born again. I was born again. I walked into that school, and I used to be good looking. I'm still living on that one. So, age. Anyway, so I was at college, and I invited this girl to go with me to another college, which was 100 miles away, to be at a concert with me. She came down. And I was waiting in the lobby of the dormitory. She came down, and she looked like she had to have about 3 people put her in her pants. The 80s was a rough time. She was wearing these leather pants. I mean, if they weren't sewn with fishing line, they would have busted. Now, I was 18 years old. Tyson says, where are you going? I was 18 years old, red-blooded American boy, right? Born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I didn't think twice. I walked over to her as she stood there trying to look like, I don't know, Jezebel? But anyway, I walked over to her and I said, you know, I do want to take you to this concert, but I'm not taking all this. So if you'll go change your clothes, we can go. She went through the door. What do you think happened? She didn't come back. I was praising God when she went back through the door, and I was praising God when she didn't come back. I'm going to tell you, I didn't try to make my life happen. I married a beautiful woman, one that was walking with me in my walk, and little did I know it, but she had plans for that night that her roommate told me about. Plans for my life, as well as hers. Sometimes we don't need to get into the temptation before we say no to it. Sometimes we need to go ahead, if it looks bad, go ahead and let it go. It isn't the greatness of your salvation. Quit saying, well, I might not get another date for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, you don't ever want another date with that. Don't you understand that? You don't ever want that back in your life. And that's okay. Now, sometimes we just I'm just at the fork in the road. No, you're not. No, you're really not. You've lost your visions, what you did. Amen. You quit looking, lifting your eyes up to the hills when, where your strength comes from, and you're trying to be the God of your own life. See if you can work this thing out yourself. You can't work it out yourself. We have to surrender unto Him. We have to draw close with a pure heart and an honoring God on a daily basis, that we lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience this race that is set before us. How do you see your God? Do you see Him as a garbage man just taking you junk on a daily basis? Or do you see your God as a God who wants to make you into the greatest human being that ever walked the face of this earth? He wants to fill your life with His Spirit. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants to apply that salvation. He wants to let you flip over every person you touch. He wants to turn Billy Graham's ministry in small to as He shows forth the kingdom of God in your life. I'm going to tell you, the only restrictions we have is how we see the greatness of His salvation. My family's never going to be saved. My family's never going to, you know. Let me tell you something. You start surrendering your life 100% to God, you'll find people falling all over themselves to ask you where this hope's coming from that is in you. They'll start asking you. I had a girl sit on my couch about a week ago, and she says, I just want to know God. I felt tears roll down my eyes. I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit, and I felt like, was this you in the right place? You can know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, being regenerated on the inside, and your life can be more beautiful than it would ever been by itself. Don't you understand, as you sit here, that God wants better for you than you want for yourself? He wants great things out of your life. And what you've done with your life up to this point doesn't hold a candle to how God wants to free you up, liberate you, and make you have full joy. God, thank you for the greatness of your salvation. Now, how do you see God? Are we just, God, I'm out here on this end of my rope. Well, how'd you get there? Was it guilty pleasure that brought you there? Was it one compromise after another that brought you to the end of your rope? How did you get to the end of your rope? Because He didn't put you there. You see, the problem is that I want you to visualize yourself as a pack of dogs. Okay, you ready? It's going to be a little fun. This is fun Sunday, okay? You visualize yourself as a pack of dogs, and God is the dog walker, okay? So He's got all these leashes going out to different dogs. You got the lead dog. You see him every time, right? He's just up at bar, bar. He's up there at the front. He's just pulling at that, just trying to lead God, right? Just trying to lead. Then if the dog walker turns another direction, he'll run and get in front, He keeps looking back to see where everybody's going. Then you've got the, and he thinks he knows what's happening, but he's got that rope stretched all the way out. Then you got the old dog. I volunteer. Okay, you got the old dog. He's tired. He's weak. He's got arthritis. He don't want to get up much. You know, he can barely muster to move when the dog walker takes off. The dog walker takes off, and he's sitting there, and he's like, "Oh my God!" And his rope stretched out, and he really meant it. Oh my God! But his rope stretched out going out the backside. Do you know children of Israel were just like that? God led them around by the cloud during the day. You remember the cloud? The cloud blocked the sun. So it was shady. There I am again. It was shady. Could you imagine? They didn't follow him because they just wanted to move. There's the shade. Ooh. I'm going to stay in the shade. Move up. I'm getting in the sun. You know, and then at night when the pillar of fire was, if it was moving, oh, let's stay close to that warm thing. And so they were motivated by self-preservation. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are beyond this Old Testament walk. Christ has done great things, and His Spirit will be with us always, even to the end of the world. He has brought that to us. Now let us respond in greatness, not in simplitude, not in the old dog kind of mindset with, oh, just drag me. Just come on, just drag me. Just slide me along. You know, Sundays and Easter. I mean, Easter and Christmas, that's good enough. That's all I need. Then you got the curious dog. He runs over to this side, see what's going on. Then he's over on this side, see what's going on. Then he's over here. I'm going to tell you, we've got to get our eyes off of this craziness. We got to quit trying to lead. We got to quit trying to be drug. Well, I hope so. You know, if people would have known, they should have come and told me it was sin. You knew it was sin when you're doing it. Anyway, we don't need to be drugged. We don't need to try to lead. And we don't need to be curious about what everybody else is doing. My wife saw a parade. Now, where are you going now? My wife saw a parade in Virginia. And there was all these, hunting clubs were doing this parade. And they had all these hunting dogs. They were on these horses. They didn't have a leash at all. Dogs running everywhere. No. They stayed right with their owner. They had nowhere else to be. They had no curiosity about the future or the past or anything else. They found their contentment right beside their owner. As that parade went down the street, they progressed with their owner. Are we going to progress with our King of Kings? Are we going to progress with our Lord of Lords? I don't care where you are. God's not so much concerned with your level of growth as He is with your rate, as you pull yourself in. He's concerned with how are you pulling yourself along. Let me tell you, this world will tell you how to be a good wife and how to be a good husband and how to do all kind of craziness. We've got to shuck off these things and look into our great salvation for the answers for this world. Let us not be confused as the world surrounds us, is confused. Let us not be. How do you see your God? Is He a garbage man that you always give Him your worst? Or is He your Lord and Savior who you always give your best? God, I don't want to be good at what I do. I want to be great at it for Your purposes. You know, when I look into this group right here, the young elders that are a part of this group, I want them to be the greatest elders that have ever walked the face of this earth. No, I'm not saying good people. I'm saying great. The young people that I see right here that begin to set your hand towards something, I want you to be the greatest at it that anybody has ever been on this planet. And the God of creation can do that in you. He can do a good work in your life. He took a man that couldn't play a guitar and couldn't sing and couldn't do anything and put a desire in his heart. And now he is perfecting holiness. He's pulling himself along. He is absolutely reconciling something that was not even his gift. Did you hear what I just said? When you give God your best, you give Him everything. That's good. but give him your worst also. God, I can't do this, but you can. I can't help this, but you can. I can't preach, but you can. I can't sing, but you can. And now I want you to be everything in me so other people can be more than they ever could have been without you. That has to become our passion. It has to become our joy to look into his eyes and say, how great is your salvation? And that's all I want to focus on, is how great your salvation is. Stand with me. And I want you, as you pray in this afternoon, or this, did we check across? It is afternoon. As you pray in this afternoon, I want you to pray that God anoint your strengths and your weaknesses. He anoints your good and your bad. He anoints everything about things that weren't holy. You need to surrender them to him. God, make them holy. Make me holy. Make me into what you want me to be. God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In you. In you. Don't wait to be rescued. Start pulling yourself up and say, God, all that I am, I'm yours. So worship with the band as they sing. You find things in your life that you can surrender to God today, and God will do a miracle.